But be that as it may, I'm excited to share with you this morning a message that I believe God put on my heart a couple of weeks back. And it's called Living with Purpose. If we can get that together, there we go. It's called Living with Purpose. Maybe you could say Living on Purpose. And that's what I want to talk to you about today. And I'm going to start with Ephesians chapter 2, verses 8 and 9. Now, some of you know that. Probably some of you could quote it right off the top of your head. I'll put it up on the screen in a minute. It's a very significant verse. It's a very foundational passage in our understanding of the Scriptures. And it's one that I use quite often. And it goes like this, if you're not familiar with it. It says, "For by grace you have been saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. It is the gift of God, not of works, lest anyone should boast." Okay? That's a pretty straightforward message. It's a very important message. It's very foundational to our faith and to our understanding of how we come into a relationship with Jesus Christ. By grace we have been saved through faith. It is the gift of God. It is not of works. Okay? That's kind of, it's straightforward. And, you know, I understand, we respond. You know, God takes the initiative. I always believe that. You know, there's always battles over theology and, you know, how this all works with salvation and how much of it is God and how much of it is us, our will and our response. And, you know, and that's, the church has debated that stuff forever. But truly, absolutely, God is the initiator. Amen? God is the initiator, and he draws us by his Spirit, and we respond, I believe. And by faith, we embrace what God has offered us through what Jesus Christ has done for us on the cross. So, you know, I'm not telling you anything you don't know. For by grace you have been saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. It is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast, or lest anyone should boast. But it's interesting because, and I've done this. I am so guilty of this. I've done this countless times. I just stop there. I stop at verse 9. And obviously, you know, when you're quoting scripture, you can't read a whole book of the Bible to somebody, and or a whole chapter even sometimes, or whatever. You know, so we pick out verses and we, you know, and there's nothing wrong with that. There's nothing wrong with pointing out here's two verses from Ephesians chapter 2. But we have to be careful. We have to be careful that we don't, like, present an incomplete picture to people. And I believe that verse 10 is very much connected to verses 8 and 9. I think a new thought begins in verse 11 if you read through Ephesians chapter 2. But verse 10, we really should start to look at that just as much as we look at verses 8 and 9, which we do so often. And verse 10 says this, "For we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God prepared beforehand that we should walk in them." And I think that is very much a part. We've got to see this whole thing and see the bigger picture. And why is it important to connect these thoughts together? Why is it important to see this as a singular thought? You know, reading, and again, you could go back before verse 8 and everything, but, you know, just, I'm focusing on these three verses right now, which we tend to focus on 8 and 9, and sometimes, you know, I mean, certainly we talk about Ephesians 2:10 at times as well, but we don't always put them together and see that they're part of a singular thought. So let me just explain where I'm going. You did not and cannot initiate your salvation. I already said that. God offers you the gift of salvation apart from your good works. He did it through the work of Jesus on the cross. And we, by faith, step into that gift that God has offered us. We become new creations in Christ. 2 Corinthians 5:17. If anyone is in Christ, he's a new creation. Old things have passed away. Behold, all things become new. This was the plan and the purpose of God from before creation. This was the plan and purpose of God before creation. And just as much as your salvation is the plan and purpose of God, so also is the way that God has called you to walk out the life that he has given you, to live the life that we live in that we live in his name and for his glory. The good works that he has prepared beforehand that we should walk in. Just the same way we embrace the gift of salvation by faith, we also need to understand and embrace by faith the plan and the purpose and the things that God has for us as we walk out our lives. He has prepared them in advance. God had a purpose for you before you were ever created. He had a destiny for you before you ever breathed your first breath. And it is so important that we see that and understand that. And that's what I mean when I say live with purpose, with God's purpose. The New Living Translation says that where here it says good works which God prepared beforehand. The New Living Translation says good things he's planned for us long ago. And by faith we step into those good works. We don't conjure them up in our own imagination, but they're things that God has prepared for us. And so the same way that we step into salvation by faith in the finished work of Christ, right? He said on the cross, it is finished. So also do we by faith step into the destiny and the purpose that God has for our lives. Not as a means of salvation, right? Because it says we're not saved by our good works. So it's not as a means of salvation, but it is a response to the God whom we have trusted for salvation and whom we love. We respond and we do what he has called us to do. I know that kind of sounds pretty simple. And when you just read verses 8 and 9 and kind of stop there, you kind of give people an incomplete picture. And I've done it hundreds of times and I've committed myself. You know what? When I get to that, if I'm preaching or sharing or witnessing or sharing my faith with someone, and I feel inclined to share that, which is such a foundational verse, verses 8 and 9, or passage, verses 8 and 9, I'm going to explain to them also about verse 10. God didn't just save you to sit on your rear end, right? And wait for the bus to take you to heaven, right? He's given you stuff to do, and maybe stuff is the right way to say it. It's kind of a crude way to say it, but he's laid out things for us. He's laid out things for us. And sometimes, I'm saved by grace through faith. That's wonderful. And it is. But now what? Now what do I do? You know, does it matter? Does it matter how I live my life? Of course it does. We need to make sure that people understand right out of the gate as quickly as possible that the God who's provided salvation through you has also laid out a path for your life and a way for you to fulfill his plan and to bring him honor and glory. Amen? So am I saying that this is all predetermined by God? Is this inevitable? You know, it's going to happen because God intended it and such. And just going back to what I said earlier, I believe God is at work he's the initiator of our salvation, but I think our will, and this is leaning toward, if I get into, you know, Reform versus Arminian theology, just leans a little bit in the Arminian way, that our will comes into play. God's Holy Spirit initiates, he draws us, but we have a role to play. And I also believe that our will comes into play as it relates to how we walk out the life that he has given us after salvation. Sometimes we're so like focused on, you know, the whole issue of salvation and how that, you know, wrestle with that theologically. And we don't think about what about everything else? What about everything else for the rest of our lives as we live this life on earth? Once saved, you know, how you live your life as a Christian also involves your will and also involves decision making on your part. Because not every Christian who is trusted in Christ is going to live out the fullness of the plan that God has for their lives. I mean, I think that's pretty obvious. You know what I'm saying? I mean, not everyone is going to live out fully that which God has ordained in advance, that which he has prepared beforehand for us. The King James uses the word ordained in Ephesians 2:10, which God has ordained for us that we should walk in them. Not everyone is going to realize that, even though he has prepared it in advance for us. So kind of in summary, I would say this. We're not saved by good works, but we are called to good works. Amen? That's one way to say it and maybe kind of boil it down to something. And those good works, as I said before, those are not just random things that we conjure up in our imagination and we come up, oh, I think I'm going to do this. I think I'm going to do that. I mean, I know, you know, obviously things come to our mind and we think, you know, this is a direct, but it initiates from God. If we're really truly trying to live for him, he's putting that, like it says in Psalm 37:4, he gives us the desires of our heart. He puts those things in us. Not just, you know, giving us the desires of our heart isn't just doing everything, you know, that we want him to do. It's he puts desires in us that are his desires in his heart. So this is so cool. When you really start to embrace this and understand this and come to this place, that just as God had your eternal salvation in view before you ever breathed your first breath. Listen to me again, and I've said it again and again. Maybe I'm being too redundant here. Just as he had your eternal salvation in view before you ever breathed your first breath, because he wanted a relationship with you, right? God's a God of relationships. So also, did he prepare a plan for your life, a means by which you can bring honor and glory to him? Right? That excites me. I get really, really excited when I think about that, and I hope you do too. Now he's called us and he wants us to walk in that purpose. He calls you to live with purpose, his purpose for you. See, I'm convinced heaven is a place of activity. You know, we think about, you know, going, it's not like floating on clouds or where. I believe heaven is a place of activity. Well, so is this life. And that's maybe more obvious to us, but this life has purpose. This life has meaning, again, which God has ordained for us. Like I said, God didn't save us and expect us to sit there and wait for the train to come to take us to heaven. He has sanctified you. He's equipped you. He has gifted you. And he has laid out for you before you, as I know I'm saying this again and again, but I just feel like we've got to really grasp this. Before we breathe our first breath, he has laid it all out for us. But we are not robots. We have a will. We have a free will. And not everyone is going to realize that preordained plan of God for their lives. You know, I quote Jeremiah 29:11 a lot because it's a wonderful passage of scripture that really has a powerful message. For I know the thoughts that I think toward you, says the Lord, thoughts of good, thoughts of peace and not of evil, to give you a future and a hope, right? Jeremiah 29:11. I say that a lot to guys I want to just be careful when I say this, because I always say when I'm in the jail, I never say something to you guys I wouldn't say to our own congregation. I want you to think I'm like, I'm saying this because you're in jail. But I use this verse a lot in jail, and the reason why is because a lot of guys understand they've screwed up, right? And they're wondering about their future. You know, I mean, to some degree we all are, but they're really thinking about, you know, is there a second chance for me? And, you know, all their situations are different. But they're wondering about their future. They're thinking about, you know, what is up ahead? I know I've screwed up the present and the past, or I've screwed up in the past and now I'm in the present. What's the future have for me? And I'll mention that verse, you know, God's plans for you are good to give you hope and a future. But I also tell them that's not automatic. Just because that was what God's heart is and what God's desire is, it is not automatic that it's going to happen. And for many, many people, it doesn't. It's amazing to think that God has laid out a plan and a purpose for our lives before we were ever born, and he's arranged circumstances for you to walk in those things. What a sense of divine destiny. You know, when you feel like, you know, you get up every day and your life has purpose and there's meaning, there's destiny, there's things that God has put them out there for you. It's just a beautiful, beautiful thing. One of my favorite verses when I'm thinking along these lines is Acts 13:36. This is the Good News Translation. That's what GNT is. For David served God's purposes in his own time and then he died and was buried with his ancestors. David served the purposes in his God's purposes in his own time, and then he died and was buried with his ancestors. That really reflects how I look at life. You know, God has called me. He saved me 45 years ago. I came to faith in Christ, and I've tried, albeit of course not perfectly, but I've tried to live that out. And I know that God has an assignment, that God has something for my life. And when that something is over, I'm going to go be with him. Whoops, I'm sorry. I got excited. I'm going to go be with him for eternity. Right? David served the purposes of God in his time, and then he died. You know, when my assignment on this earth is over, I'm going to go be with Jesus forever. Amen? Why else would he leave us on this earth after we're saved? If God's only concern was where your eternal home is going to be, why would he leave us here after we come to faith in Christ? If he just wants to get us, you know, into his presence and reconcile us to him and such, why would he leave us here? I think it's pretty obvious the reason why. This life, compare this life to eternity. It is just a speck. It doesn't even register on the radar screen, right? God, but yet he leaves us here. And it's for his glory. It's for his purposes. It's for what he desires for us, what he has laid out in advance. He leaves us here, and some of God's people miss that purpose. I think so many, you know, there's a lot of, as I say a lot of times, there's a lot of shiny objects, especially in the culture that we live in, that draw our affections and our attention away from God. And we forget why we're here. And we think we're here for ourselves and to do, you know, what we want to do and what we think, you know, is it would satisfy us. And some of God's people miss his purpose. How God will look at that in eternity, I don't know. That's up to God, right? I just know that I want to spend my life for his glory and for his kingdom. And so don't let the meaning of Acts 13:36 escape you. Fulfilling the purposes of God in your generation and our generation is a divine mandate for every one of us. It is not just something that was for David. You know, it is God's mandate for every one of us. It's not optional. And I fear that we could come to the end of this life and not have the assurance that we have fulfilled what God has for our lives. Or maybe in some cases, God forbid, some people don't care. You know, I've got my ticket, so I don't really care. That's a horrible, horrible way to look at life, and I hope that none of you do that. I don't want to reach the end of my life and have doubts about whether I fulfilled the purpose of God for my generation. And when you endeavor to live according to his plan and seek his plan, you know, that's a challenge sometimes for us, you know, to understand what God has for us and such. I get that. But when you're trying to walk that out, what a glorious thing. What a glorious way to live our lives. There's nothing like it. There's no greater sense of fulfillment in all of this earth than to feel like you have done or you are in the process of doing what God has put you here for, what he has made you for, and what he has ordained in advance for you to walk in. I was reading something just a couple of weeks ago, I think it was, and I read a quote by Henry David Thoreau. Now, you know, he was, a pretty well-known philosopher in the 18th century, an essayist, did a lot of writing, and I'll say right that he wasn't a Christian. He had some kind of strange spiritual ideas and, you know, kind of enlightenment sort of thinking and all that. But you know, he's did a lot of writing and stuff, and I'm not super familiar with him, but I came across this quote by Thoreau, and he said this, it's a couple sentences long, but the last one is the zinger, okay? So follow me. I went to the woods because I wished to live deliberately, to confront only the essential facts of life and not, when I came to die, discover that I had not lived. I did not wish to live what was not life. Living is so dear, nor did I wish to practice resignation. And this is the one that'll really, I hope, God, let this one just sink into the hearts of your people, because I think this is so powerful. He said, the mass of men, and women, of course, but the mass of men lead lives of quiet desperation and go to the grave with their song still in them. The mass of men lead lives of quiet desperation and go to the grave with their song still in them. I don't want to go to the grave with my song still in me. You know what I'm saying? Do you understand that terminology and what he's saying? And you know, you don't have to live to be 100 years old to fulfill the purpose of God for your life. You know, Jesus did it in 33 years, amen? And some have been shorter than that even. It's not the length of your life that matters, right? It's the fullness of the life that we live. It's not how long you live, but it's how you live your life. You know, forgive me for quoting Braveheart, but I love that movie. And when Wallace was about to be executed, he said, "Every man dies, but not every man really lives." When we roll out of bed in the morning, think about this simple fact. God has a plan. He has ordained, he has prepared in advance something for you to walk in. And we need to approach life with that kind of mindset, a mission mindset. What do you have for me this day, Lord? How can I bring honor and glory to you this day? But it's more than a plan. You know, we plan things all the time, right? We have plans and we have all kinds of plans this past week and next couple of days with Mike and Diana here and everything. But it's more than just, because it sounds so trite. Well, God has a plan for your life, right? God loves you and he has a plan for your life. Well, that's very true. But sometimes we just hear that so much that it doesn't really seem to have impact that it should on our lives. It's more than just God has a plan. It's that he has laid out those things in advance for you. He's gone ahead of us and he has put everything in place. And all we do is try to walk sensitive to his Holy Spirit and walk in that, right? I don't know if that means as much to you as it means to me, but it just really, really speaks to my heart. It's not just, yeah, God has a plan. It's just he has laid it out for us. You know, it reminded me of we did an escape room this week, just for something fun to do, and I'd never done one before. We didn't do very good, but we got through it, but with some help, and, huh? Yeah, I'm here, that's a good thing. But everything was there. Everything, all the clues, everything were there. And I don't want to give the idea that it's like this kind of cat and mouse thing with God, you know, that he's like hiding things or whatever. It's not like that. But the analogy I'm trying to make is everything was there. Everything that we needed to figure out the mission that we were on, you know, in this escape room to get into this place or whatever, get into this room, everything was there. And it had been so carefully and meticulously laid out for us. And again, it was done in a way that made it challenging and everything, and I get that. And I don't, like I say, God's not playing cat and mouse with us. That's not the point behind that. But that's why it's so important for us to stay in communion with God, you know, to stay sensitive to his Holy Spirit. You know, Psalm 23, another very, very familiar passage to many. He leads me beside still waters, right? It says that in verse 2. He leads me in the paths of righteousness for his name's sake. It says in verse 3. And notice also in verse 4, it says this. He leads us through the valley of the shadow of death. Ooh. And then in verse 6, it says he prepares a table before us in the presence of our enemies. So what that says to me is this foreordained plan that God has for our life isn't an easy one necessarily, right? He prepares a table before us in the presence of our enemies. Those that may hate us, those that may hate what we stand for. Standing for Jesus. But he's prepared it. He's put it. So, you know, don't think that when you walk in the plan and purpose of God and fulfill the destiny that God has for your life, it's going to be an easy life. There's no guarantee it's going to be an easy life at all. And I would venture to say it never will be. I mean, not that every day is hard, tragic, but, you know, every one of us, is what I'm trying to say, every one of us will go through difficult things. And I think fail from time to time, right? I think God takes that all into consideration as well. But we grow in adversity, right? We grow in the midst of adversity. And finally, you know, at the end of Psalm 23, at the end of verse 6, it says, I'm going to make sure I get it right. I think it says, goodness and mercy shall follow me. Yeah, verse 6. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. When you're walking in the plan and purpose God has for your life, goodness and mercy follow you, right? Think about that. They follow you. It's like they're on your tail all the time. Goodness and mercy. Because you're walking in that which God has prepared in advance for you. And it's like, I think it's in Deuteronomy. Oh, I think I have these up here. I should have just put them up here. Goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of your life. And then 28:2, you know, we're talking about the blessings. And then later on in Deuteronomy, the next chapter, he talks about the cursings and stuff, you know, the curses if we don't follow God. He says, all these blessings shall come upon you and overtake you because you obey the voice of the Lord your God. You know, it's like you're trying to outrun them, and you can't, because when you're doing, not that you're trying to outrun them, but you know, I'm just trying to create an image. You know, you're just going along, and goodness and mercy is following you, and the blessings of God are overtaking you. And we don't do it for those reasons, but that's just the heart of God. If we're obeying Him, we can't outrun the blessings of God. So in closing, I want to ask you to stand with me, and we'll wrap up here in a moment. Understand God's heart and God's priority. God wants to have a relationship. He wants us to be transformed into the image of His Son. He wants us to love Him with all of our heart, soul, mind, and strength. I don't want to make this sound like it's all about works, 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 because that's not the point. But there is that part that we sometimes miss. And I think so many people come to faith in Christ with no sense of purpose and no sense of, you know, like what comes next. Well, I guess what comes next is, you know, I live out this life and then I die and I go be with Jesus, you know, not realizing that every step we take and every day we live and every breath we breathe has purpose and brings honor and glory to Him. And, you know, in my prayer life, I always pray, you know, Lord, what can I do today to advance your kingdom? How can I represent your heart to the people around me? That to me is one of the most important things. Not just what I do and such, but that I would be able to represent the heart of God to those who are around me. We're on a mission every single day of our lives. So I would ask the question in closing before we pray, how are you living? Do you want to live for God? I didn't simply say, do you want to be saved? Of course, that's important. That's essential. That's where it all starts, right? You got to walk through the door first. But do you want to live for God? I don't know how sometimes we miss this. We can get so, you know, in this evangelical ghetto sort of idea, you know, or just, you know, it's all just about, you know, getting people to pray a prayer or something and forgetting that there is a plan that God has laid out for us. And we just have people that just don't understand that and don't see that and sense that in their heart. And there's a lot of things that are pulling you in different directions to keep you from that. Telling you this is more important, that's more important. You've got time for that. You know, you've got time, and you know, when you're old, you know, then you can get more serious about. I mean, how many people have you heard? Well, after this, after this, after this, after this, then I'll get serious about Jesus and serving Him. And it never happens for some people, sadly, right? Let's bow our heads. God, I just believe with all my heart that you have laid out for every person in this place. First of all, you know, those who have not come to faith in Christ. The Bible says the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ, our Lord. Receive what Jesus has done for you on the cross. Have that regeneration by the Holy Spirit where He comes in and takes up residence in your heart and in your life and makes you that new creation in Christ. And I know that, as best I can tell, you know, just knowing most of the folks here, that most people have come to that place in their lives. But God, what we do next, how we live every single day, I pray that you would just quicken our minds and our hearts. When we wake up in the morning, when we, you know, begin our every day, realize that it is for you, it is for your glory, that we don't have to fret and worry and be full of anxiety over what this day or this month or this year will bring and all the things that are going on around us, because you have prepared in advance good works for us to walk in. It is your desire that we walk in them to bring you honor and glory and to fulfill the purpose and the destiny that you have for every one of us. And I thank you for that, God. I love living my life that way, and I know I got to do a lot better at it, and probably we all do, but I'm so grateful for it. And I pray that over this whole congregation, those listening online, and everyone that you know, I have an opportunity to influence in some way through this message, we thank you in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. God bless. You're dismissed. Have a great and wonderful day in the Lord and a wonderful week.